Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day, together by the radio, to open God's eternal Word and to study the Word of God together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God today. We're turning in our Bible to the book of Mark, chapter number 8. In Mark, chapter number 8, I want to read verse number 35 down through the next few verses. The Bible said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." That's reading from Mark chapter number 8, verse 35, down through verse 38. We're continuing our study on dealing with the will of God. We have looked thus far at two primary thoughts. We look, first of all, at understanding the will of God. And I spent several days preaching and teaching from the Word of God on how to understand the will of God in several different aspects. We looked at the printed will of God, then we looked at the personal will of God, and then we looked at the progressive will of God. And again, I emphasize, we will never know how to undertake the will of God until we understand it. And then second, we looked at the thought of undertaking the will of God. It is not enough just to understand the will of God. We must undertake the will of God. And we look there at our preparation for the will of God. We must be sure of our salvation. We must be separated from all known sin. We must be saturated with the Scriptures. We must be sincere in our supplication. And we must be surrendered to the Spirit. And then we looked at God's work as He progressively works in our life. God will begin by cautioning us. And I said to you, when God cautions you about anything, beware. Then God will counsel us. And when He counsels you, listen. God then will convict us of some things. And when He does, we must stop. And then God will concern us in some things that we need to be doing. And when He does, get involved. And then when God calls you, don't procrastinate. Move in obedience to the call of God upon your life. But I want to come to the third and final part of this study, and we'll look at underestimating the will of God. We looked at understanding the will of God. We looked at undertaking the will of God. And now we're going to look at underestimating the will of God. And as I even mentioned that, my heart is grieved as I think of all of the sorrow and the suffering and the sadness that people have experienced because they underestimated the will of God. Let me say to you again that the will of God simply means that God has a plan and God has a place and God has a purpose for your life. Now listen to me, dear friend. Oh, hear this preacher today. The plan that God has for you is the greatest plan possible for your life. It may not be popular in the eyes of people. It may not be always in the public eye. But God's plan is the greatest plan for your life. Nothing is better than God's plan for you. And then may I say to you, God's place is the best place in the world for you to be. It is the safest place and the most secure place that there is in the world. God's got a place. And I do not care where the calling of God might be upon your life. That place that God wants you is the best place for you to be. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Some have died early because they were in a place serving God. And that is true. Many have been martyred for the cause of Christ. Many missionaries have been killed on the field of service. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. Was that the best place for them? You better believe it was. When they stand before Christ, having paid that ultimate sacrifice, I want to tell you, great will be their reward. But my friend, it's been proven over and over again in history that those who do give their life on the battlefield for the Lord, always their fruit and their works live on after they're gone. And God is honored, and the work of God multiplies because of their sacrifice. I've said many times, and I say it again, I'd rather have my children halfway around the world in the will of God, serving God, than to be living right here in my doorstep and out of God's will. So the will of God means God's got a plan, and that's the greatest plan there is for you. The will of God means God's got a place, and that's the greatest place there is for you to be. And the will of God means God's got a purpose, and His purpose is the greatest purpose there is for your life. Life can have no fuller meaning and no greater joy and no more satisfaction than just knowing you are fulfilling the purpose of God for your life. As I began to prepare for the broadcast today, the thought came into my mind, why would anyone want to miss the will of God? Why would we underestimate God's will? And so I want to answer that question, and I want to look at a couple or three thoughts, as the Lord permits us, in these broadcasts. I want to deal, first of all, with the purpose. What is the cause of people underestimating the will of God? And then we're going to look at the price and maybe the picture of what it is to underestimate the will of God. Notice again from our text verse in verse number 35, the Bible said, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. And then the next two verses, the Bible said, verse 36, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What do men give in exchange for the will of God? What causes people to underestimate God's will? Let me give you several things quickly on the broadcast today. Many people have allowed their family to keep them from doing the will of God. Sometimes it may be a family member. Oftentimes it can be a husband will not sell out and serve the Lord because of his wife. A wife will not sell out and serve the Lord because of her husband. Parents do not sell out and serve the Lord because of their children. I could name some incidents today where people have come to me personally and talked to me and told me, preacher, I've got to do this for my children's sake. Or I've got to do this for my companion's sake. I've heard them say, I've got to keep my family together. And I want to tell you, friend, about 99% of those who come and say that wind up losing their family. I remember many years ago, a man came to me, stood in the vestibule of the church that I was pastoring. And he said, preacher, I've got to leave this church for my children's sake. And I watched that man sadly as he turned in his materials. I received them. I encouraged him not to go. But he went anyway, and he took his children down the road to another church that had no standards and no convictions. And his children all went to the world. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, when you sacrifice the will of God for your family, then you're going to wind up sacrificing your family because you underestimated the will of God. And then there are those who underestimate the will of God because they get their eyes on fame or fortune. They get their eyes on being popular, They get their eyes on having plenty. And you know what they discover on down the road? They find out that fame and fortune do not satisfy. They do not meet the need, the hunger, the longing that is there in a person's heart. Dear friend, listen to me today. Hear this preacher. If you were to gain all the money in the world and miss the will of God, you would die a miserable mess. Oh, my friend, do not underestimate the will of God when you compare it to fame and fortune. There is no popularity and there is no plentifulness, my friend, that is even to be compared with the will of God. We'd be better off to be somewhere unknown to this world, but known to God in His will, than we would to be the most popular person in the world and miss the will of God. The same is true with a fortune. My friend, we'd be better off to live as a pauper and die and have to be buried somewhere in a borrowed tomb than we would be to gain all the wealth of this world and to miss the will of God. Then may I say to you, number three, not only, my friends, some shall not because of their family, some shall not because of fame and fortune, but some underestimate the will of God by comparing the will of God to their friends. Now, friend, I want to tell you something. If you allow your friends to cause you to underestimate and to miss the will of God, they're not really friends anyway. But second, I promise you, in the fear of God, those friends will not be your friends long. You will lose them if you sacrifice the will of God to maintain their friendship. And then may I say number four, there are many who underestimate the will of God when they compare the will of God with what their flesh desires to do. Oh, we need to recognize the flesh never has been the friend of God. And it never has been the friend of spiritual things. It's our enemy. It wars against us. Our flesh cries out, but if you serve God, you cannot do this. And if you go out and serve God, then you cannot enjoy the things of the world. And it brings up all of these things of the world and the flesh that the flesh cries out to do and says, you cannot serve God. Oh, if you get in the will of God, then you'll have to lose all of these things that you have pleasure in and you'd have pride in. And the flesh is a great enemy to you and I finding, functioning, and fulfilling the will of God. But may I say to you again today, dear friend, don't underestimate the will of God. The will of God is the greatest place. It is the greatest plan, and it's the greatest purpose that one could ever have in this life. And the amazing thing is, God loved you, and God loved me so much that He prepared a will for our life. Don't underestimate the will of God. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day to gather by the radio and study His Word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.